Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, December 13th, 2022. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 48, reading the third paragraph, which begins with Everybody Nowadays Believes in Scores and ends with To Illustrate. Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 Steps, Terry H. for the 12 Traditions, Lois P. will read and comment on our text, and Dana P. will read page 164, and Kara L. will be our backup for today. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Monday, December 12th, is 19742. That's 19,742. And the reference number for yesterday's meeting at, I don't have it here. Let me grab it. I'm so sorry. I didn't write it down. Just one second. For the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for December 13th is 19744. That's 19,744. VOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning. This is Rhonda R., a grateful member in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admit we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I'll now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Elaine, for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 48, reading the third paragraph, which begins with Everybody Nowadays. And I'll ask Lois P. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. And good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions for which there is good evidence, but no perfect visual proof. And does not science demonstrate that visual proof is the weakest proof? It is being constantly revealed as mankind studies the material world that outward appearances are not inward reality at all. To illustrate. So, to me, the most important sentence is, the outward appearances are not inward reality at all. So outward appearances, everything that we see, that I see visually, or even create in my mind, and in the mind, at least my mind, it's like a game show. It's a survival program, TV program. It's a carnival sometimes in my mind. You know, we're not talking about the things that go on in the mind. We're talking about a deeper reality. And everything that I see, you know, I can say is, quote, real. But things I don't see, for example, I don't see that there's a country called India. I don't see that there are galaxies, you know, far beyond my visual capabilities to see. But yet I know that they're there, according to other people's say and other people's, quote, proof. So, you know, the outer reality and the inner reality are very interesting. But it says very clearly, you know, that science is demonstrating that visual proof is the weakest proof. Because what we see, what I see, or what I thought I saw my whole life changed, has changed. Things I was certain about, that I was rock solid certain about, I later came to see just was like not true. So this inward reality is a profoundly different place of being than just what we can prove or feel or taste or even believe. This inner reality can be attained once we clear the mind of all of that comedic, stressful, as some people say, mishigas that goes on in the mind. Once we can clear that debris by doing the steps, especially 10, 11, and 12, there's another reality deep inside that suddenly is available when those other things that we think are provable or that we question, when all of that is settled and cleared away, there is a profound reality within that's accessible to all of us. It tells us in the big book. It's there. And that reality is the reality that is haven for each one of us. It's our birthright to find. And if everyone will join me along in that treasure hunt to find that inward reality, I'd love to have you join me. It's a playground of wonderment and peace and joy when we surrender into that inner reality. So first, let's get rid of the assumptions. Let's get rid of all of the proof and deal with all that. Clear away that blockage to this great reality that lies within. There's tremendous happiness there. So thank you for that. And I pass.
Thank you.
Hello,
so
I'm
much,
Barbara.
Lois P.
Hello, I'm Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I have Barbara as the first person on the lineup, assuming she wants to speak. Anybody else who hasn't shared in the last couple of days?
Mary B.
Lorraine N.
Mary B.
I heard Mary B. and Lorraine N. Anybody else?
Kristen.
Kara L.
Kristen, I heard, and Kara. Kara L.
Yes, Kristen C.
Kristen C. Okay. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Sherry
Janice
C.
K.
I think I heard Sherry and Dana. Does that sound right?
Janice
K. Janice K.
Janice K.
Okay, wonderful. All right, that's a great lineup. So I have Barbara, sorry I didn't get your last initial, Mary B, Lorraine N, Kristen C, Kara L, Sherry, also didn't get your initial, and Janice K. What a great lineup. Okay, so Barbara, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Mary B.
I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey. Okay, this program of Overeaters Anonymous that I have relapsed from this program. I was in it years ago, and I'm back now. I got back in it during Thanksgiving, and I've gotten a sponsor from, and I'm. It's been very, 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 very hard, very hard. And I'm working it, and I'm working it. But I'm finding from reading now, it's helping, opening me up now. She just read it about reality is that knowing that I have this compulsive disease of eating, and I need a spiritually awakened. The spiritually awakened is working with me now more than ever. And that is my reality. I come from a Christian family, and we have learned from our family different things about Christ. But I want to say, it's the program of recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous is what is helping me with my addiction with food. That food is a disease of eating things that are not supposed to be eating. And I'm working with it harder now more than ever. And I'm learning the reality is working the 12 steps and letting go and let God. And when I'm doing that, sometimes it's hard. There's times I slip. But I'm fighting it each day to let go and let God and turn my will and life over to the care of God. That's what I want to leave today. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Barbara W. Glad you're here. Mary B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Lorraine N.
Did you call on me, Elaine?
Yes, Mary B., it's your
turn. Yeah, I was unmuting. Hello, everyone. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, but not cured compulsive overeater. So thrilled to be on the line today, to be with my fellows. Wow, that opening share blew me out of the water. My head is spinning. It was so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lois, for that opening share. Gave me a lot to think about. But here's where I took it to today. It says outward appearances are not inward reality at all. So, I had to go back to self. And that's how I lived my life. Outwardly, I was obese. I just barely walked through life. I pretended. I lied when the truth would have served me. I always wanted to look good, try to impress everybody with whatever And on the inside, I was dying inside. All I could think about is, when am I going to get the next compulsive bite? Where am I going to go? What store am I going to shop in? What closet am I going to hide in at work to binge? What excuse can I make to go and get some binge food? And the list just goes on and on and on. I believe to my hardest of hearts, I was one of the biggest phonies this world has ever seen, if you know what I mean. Well, with gratitude in my heart, tears in my eyes, I can say today it's not that way. I feel very real. I feel very much in touch with my feelings. I feel loved by the members of Overeaters Anonymous and all over the world. It's just amazing. I feel like my life has totally changed around, and I have been touched by you and by a higher power. And that power has changed me. I feel today my inside matches my outside. I'm not afraid to open my mouth and speak up for myself. I'm not afraid to say what my needs and my wants are. I'm not afraid when I say I have a resentment or I'm angry, I have anxiety or what I have. My prayers are answered all the time. I serve a loving God who continually shows me throughout my day that he is in my life. He continually tells me I am loved. He sends me people to sponsor. He sends me people to do 10 steps with. He sends me people to do outreach with. It's just an amazing, amazing life. And I would just like to reiterate what Lois said. Come with us. Join us. Join us on this journey. You have an opportunity today to never have to pick up again for the rest of your life. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning for you and for all of us. Thank you very much for your service and everyone on the line, Elaine, and I will pass with that.
Thank you so much, Mary B. Lorraine N., you're up next, followed by Kristen C.
Good morning, Elaine, and thank you for your service. Good morning, my fellows in recovery. Lorraine N., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater here in freezing cold Oregon. Excuse me. Beautiful shares so far. Thank you to the lead share. Wonderful. The visual proof is the weakest proof, and outward appearances are not inward reality at all. That's what stood out for me this morning. And growing up, it seemed to me that outward appearances were the most important thing. In looking back over my life, I'm painfully but now hopefully aware that my entire life was mostly concerned with outer appearances, starting with my very Catholic upbringing in my dysfunctional, very often abusive family. I'm one of five siblings, all of us dressed in uniform every single day, marched off to our Catholic school, marched off to church every Sunday. To all appearances, we looked like a good Catholic family. But what I heard and what I learned along the way did not match up at all with what was really going on in our don't tell anyone anything family. So the abuse and insanity stayed within our home and within our family, and especially within me, and I'm sure within my other siblings. At the time, I didn't know I was living in an insane, fallen world. I didn't even know I was physically abused until someone told me. I thought it was discipline. In my world, parents and siblings slapped each other around all the time. So that was normal behavior in my world. And after that, I worked in the so-called beauty industry for 40 years, which is all about outward appearances and creating illusions, actually. And being well-trained as a kid growing up, I was really good at creating illusions and the illusion of I'm just fine. Every day I styled my hair, my makeup was perfect, my clothing and always stylish and well-coordinated. You know, I had someone say to me early on in my career, if you want to play the part, you've got to look the part. So I played it well until it nearly killed me. So this reading today allows me to exhale that in the eyes of God, I'm enough, exactly the way I am in this moment. Finally, I can stop trying to be anything other than who I am, a child of this universe, willing to grow along spiritual lines. Getting older helps. The youth and beauty are long gone, so it's very humbling and also an enormous, holy, sacred relief. The past is done, over, gone. Today, all day, I get to put my hand in the hand of God and my other hand in yours, all of you, my beautiful sisters and brothers in recovery. And together, we can do what we could never do alone. I'm eternally grateful for this program. And this vision for you meeting, thank you. And my higher power, thank you, God. And thank you, all of you, my fellows in recovery. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine N. Such beautiful shares this morning. Thank you. And Kristen C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Kara L.
Thank you so much. I'm Kristen C. from New Mexico. And I'm just checking in because I feel like it's a good thing for me to do every couple of weeks. I'm getting acclimated to this meeting. I used to attend a different one. And I'm enjoying the big book readings and the shares so much. And I, too, am reflecting on the idea of, you know, insides and outsides and how they don't necessarily match up. And well, like a lot of us, my family was all about outward appearances, too. And definitely our outward appearances as a family when I was young did not match up with what was really going on. And so we put on a good show. But what was happening behind closed doors was radically different from the show we put on. So I learned to hold secrets and put up appearances, and it was challenging and programmed to learn how to let that go and really get in touch with my actual true feelings and experiences, and then to take another step of faith and share them with people. And I had to learn through experience to, you know, who to share them with and who not to. Through trial and error, I did share some of them with the wrong people, but that was part of my learning experience. And today I do feel like I'm 1,000 times more authentic than I was before program. And that alone feels like a reward of program, not one that I was looking for. When I came into program, I was just looking for relief from my eating disorder. And nothing else had worked up to that point. And so that's what I was looking for relief from. And to be a certain weight and look a certain way, and that's not what my focus is today. My focus is on being more and more authentic to myself and to those in my life. And learning how to do that with integrity, learning how to do that you know, like say what I mean what I say, but don't say it mean, because that was the other thing I had to learn in program. All of my feelings weren't necessarily everybody's business, especially the nasty ones. And that some of those I needed to learn how to deal with in a different way than lashing out at people. So I've had to learn a lot about authenticity and self-regulation through program, but I'm so grateful that I'm still improving. I still have a ways to go, but I'm far better than I was before program. And my food and weight are not my main focuses of program now. It's working the steps and being authentic. And that the food and the weight, thank you, kind of come into alignment as I'm willing to do that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kristen C. Kara L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sherry.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And thank you to everyone giving service today, bringing the meeting to us. And boy, incredible shares today. Thank you so much. Everyone nowadays believes in scores of assumptions when there's no good evidence. Well, yes, I do. Just yesterday, I bought a bunch of gifts from some wireless internet thing, and they'll show up at my house, and my money will be exchanged. And if I'm honest, I have really no idea how that all happens. I just know I click the button, and a bill comes, and then something comes to my door. I fully believe that's going to happen. I turned on the lights last night, fully believed that's going to happen. I'm on my phone right now, fully believe that I'm going to have service. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I fully believe that. Now, did I fully believe that there was something out there that would help me with my compulsive eating? No, I didn't. It took me a long time in this program of doing everything, of saying I believed, of clearing the road, clearing the path, you know, until I did believe, until I was willing to take, we're going to talk about this moving forward, that step from the, you know, bridge of reason to the shore of faith. And then I got to look at things and say, I don't know why it works, but today I'm going to believe. So today I do believe that there's a power greater than myself that is guiding my life, that is keeping my food neutral, that is helping me with every single decision. I ask for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision on what I wear, what should I have for breakfast, what lipstick, you know? And when I forget to do that, that's when I take back myself, when I start getting antsy and agitated. And I step back and I say, that's right. Today, I believe in something that there is no visual proof, but I know that works. And I say, higher power, please show me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And I move forward knowing that it will be taken care of. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L. And you'll be, now Sherry is up. I believe it's Sherry Z. Please share with us, Sherry. You'll be followed by Janice K.
Good morning. It's Sherry Z, recovered in Los Angeles. Thank you to all those that do service and make this miracle happen every day. Wow. All the assumptions I made based on what I saw, I still do it so frequently. I see something and I make a whole set of assumptions about it. And it is so narcissistic because it's like, that person, that situation, that idea is driven by God. But all I see is what I see with my visual eyes. And God is so much bigger than that. And so much of my disease was rooted in, if I was thin and everybody saw me this way and I saw me this way, then I was fill in the blank. And what I realized was that my outward vision was blurred. And it's so funny. I've worn glasses since I was in eighth grade, and I always think about this. Like, I was born with incorrect vision. And so the fact that I would make all these assumptions with the vision that's actually needs to be corrected is even more funny. And so it's so clear to me that God has a vision for me and a vision for someone else, and that word is not based on what I see with just my eyes. It's so much more. And I'm so grateful today because being in this program has given me the ability to really sync up with what God envisions my inside and my outside to be. And I still think I'm right. I still think, oh, no, 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 no. I eat abstinence and I have a food plan and my weight should be something. And then I remember, oh, no, 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 God, you're syncing up my inward and outward appearance. And that led me to the body that is correct. Not what I think, because what I think is insane, but what you think. I'm so grateful to be in these rooms. It brings me to tears this morning just because I was so not raised with this idea. And the fact that I live this each day and model it is really, truly a God-driven miracle. So thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Kara L. I mean, Sherry V. So sorry about that. Janice K., you are up next. And after Janice shares, we'll take another lineup on page 48, paragraph 3, begins with everybody nowadays believes in scores and ends with to illustrate. Please share with us, Janice.
Thank you so much. This is Janice K. in Oregon. The words that really struck me today were outward appearances are not inward reality. And the discrepancy, the thought led me to the idea, my unguarded mind is a very bleak place. When I don't have my higher power in place, my mind truly does remind me of a bad neighborhood. Don't go there after dark or alone. So there's a suggestion in the AA 12 and 12. And basically what it suggests, and I don't have the page right off the top of my head, but it suggests memorizing sections of lines from Big Book and 12 and 12 to resort to in difficult times, those times that we are stressed or alone or just the bleak times. I also really appreciate the following paragraph in the statement, we have numerous theories about electricity. Well, there are also lots of theories about God and religion out there. I was at a Big Book meeting recently with six members active in program, all sharing on the Big Book. And each and every one of us had our own set of experts, and none of our experts were the same. There's a breadth of belief and a generosity of spirit that exists in the 12-step rooms that we don't always find outside. So one of the things I learned in early program was that a self is like a clear pitcher. You can only pour out what you put in. So put in good stuff. When I started in program, I thought I had to provide the good stuff. Currently, I can see that the best I can do just does not measure up with what my higher power has to give. So if I let HP fill me, the results are remarkable. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of meeting days, then we invite you to press star 1 to unmute if you'd like to comment on We Agnostics, page 48, paragraph 3.
Michelle F.
Leah S.
Jody E.
We may have room for Jody as well. Okay. So this is what I've got. Michelle F., Josh R., Roz G., Leah S., and if there's time, Jody as well. Jody E. Okay. So if you're not Michelle F., I ask you to please mute your phone. Or star 1 to mute. And Michelle, please share with us. You'll be followed by Josh R.
Thank you, and thank you for your service, Michelle F., as in Foxtrot from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater and food addict. I was just struck listening to everyone's wonderful shares. Kind of goes back to this spiritual awakening, how outward appearances are an inward reality at all. And I am, all I could think of was, you know, I had so little tolerance for sitting through these meetings on We Agnostics. I went to several Big Book step studies, and if I found out we were on step two, I would leave, because I just couldn't tolerate sitting and listening to all the God, God, God. I totally bristled with antagonism, and I don't know how it happened, but I count my spiritual awakening as being able to sit there and listen and not bristle. And it just kind of happened. Doesn't bother me anymore. And so my new inward reality is that I'm okay with it. And I just want to reassure everybody who's agnostic, like me, that there is space for us in the room. And these next few paragraphs, they just so brilliantly explain faith, you know, trusting the light's going to come on when you flick the switch, that we're going to go to the moon, which we did, atoms. These are all brilliant references to scientific things, which is what agnostic atheist people tend to gravitate toward, that are actually acts of faith. And so I just invite everybody who is of that temperament to please keep coming, keep listening, and let them open your mind just a little bit. And that's all you need. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Michelle. Nice invitation. Josh R., you are up next, followed by Roz G.
Hi, this is Josh R., compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. Great to be on the line this morning. Yeah, when I hear that what we read in the Big Book, what comes to mind for me is just this idea of how my outward appearance, you know, by other people's perceptions or their judgments of me, might not be the same as, or a lot of times it's not the same as what my higher power thinks of me. And I think I can really get caught up in the opinions of others, and that's sort of the outward appearance, or how I view myself, is through the lens of other people's judgments or perceptions. And the program is teaching me, you know, somebody told me to say this prayer to myself, to ask God to help me to see my true value and to help me to separate myself from the opinions of others and the opinion of myself, so that I can be of use to others. And when they told me this, it really hit me. This was just something the person, a friend of mine in OA, came up with, and it just I shared it with a friend of mine in program, and they seemed to really benefit from it. But anyways, I guess in this program, the way that I appear to others, you know, the self-seeking, the wanting validation, which has always been a challenge for me, you know, sometimes people are going to think certain things of me, and the program allows me to deal with the opinions of others, because I have my higher power backing me up, and I have my higher power validating me instead of relying on other people and other people's opinions, which even when they're positive, they're short and fleeting, and you know, not really reliable. So yeah, that's all I wanted to share. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Josh R. Roz G, you're up next, followed by Leah S.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, everybody. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And this reading reminds me of a couple of things. I love to go to Disney California Adventure. I love the Disney parks. And there's a lot of Hollywood stuff there. It's like one of the themes of the park is Hollywood, and there's a place where you go where there's this huge picture of a long city, and it is drawn and painted so brilliantly that you think you're walking down a long road with beautiful lights and city and a city on each side, and it's just an illusion. It is the outward appearance of a long city, but it is not one. It's just an illusion. And also, and then it reminds me of the Big Book in page 60, where it says that, you know, I'm like the actor. Sorry for that. That's my dog. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, trying to arrange the lights in the ballet. That control, that Hollywood storefront, that delusion of what I want people to see. You know, when I was a little girl, looks were a very huge part of my existence. You know, I'm Creole, and I have all kinds of different kinds of hair, and curly hair, kinky in some ways and curly in others. And I grew up around girls who had long, straight, blonde hair, and I wanted to be like them. I wasn't enough the way I was, and so, you know, we started using hair straighteners. And for 50 years, I've been straightening my hair until recently. I stopped doing it because I want to be authentic. I want to have my authentic hair. I want to have my authentic body, whatever it is. Being abstinent and doing what I'm supposed to do and not living a Hollywood storefront life anymore. You know, I'm just like all of you guys who've shared in the beginning. I was a liar. I wanted you to see the makeup and the hair and the clothes and all that stuff. And yes, I do believe that looking becomingly and making my bed in the morning and dressing like an adult and a person of my age, not striving to have a 20-year-old hourglass figure anymore when I'm going to be 60 years old next year. That's phony. So being, you know, living with reality and dealing with it. If I'm abstinent I'll wrap up by saying if I'm abstinent and doing what the program tells me to do, then the reality of my body, my personality, my hair, and everything will be exactly as it's supposed to be. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Leia S., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Jody E. Please share with us, Leia.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leia S., recovered and very grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So theories, illusions, intellect, those were things that were being attacked to me. How would God have me be? How would my intuition all of a sudden come? And I realized that intuition means really there's an idea in my head that was not there a moment ago or perhaps even a minute ago. I'm getting this new idea. I'm getting this new inspiration. I'm getting this kind of, you know, I considered myself a pretty intelligent woman. You're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me how to eat. I know diets much better than you. I've been dieting my whole life. All that stuff. But you know what? My sponsor told me, just personalize that higher power within yourself. Start that way. Whatever you want that higher power to be, personalize it. Don't talk about other people. Oh, they believe in this and they believe in that. And that's because and they're proving and they're theorizing. No, you prove it to yourself. You believe in yourself. You're okay. You're okay, Leia. Through all the damage you did to your body, through all the screaming and yelling that was going on, through all the chaotic everything that was going on, personalize your own higher power. That has to be able to take care of that inner turmoil that you have and to quiet it down. Now, if that higher power is able to do that through these steps and through this honesty about everything about Leah, then I can achieve that. I just want to add one more thing. Yesterday, I went out to buy a present, and I went to a very busy store. I walked into that store at 3:30 in the afternoon, and I walked out of that store after 6 o'clock. There was not one more customer. Now, my God, it's a busy store. I was looking for diamonds, and I was looking for, jewelry, whatever. And I got the attention of this sales lady who was so kind and was able to bring out stuff that she wouldn't normally show during business hour. Anyway, when I walked out, I was clear-minded, and I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for helping me make my decision. Now, I don't know if she lost out on business, but I certainly didn't do anything. I didn't do anything, people, to come into that store. That's a busy store. And not one customer. I just need to. Yes, I needed to advertise this because I'm balked. Thank you for letting me share, Pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Leah S. And Jody E., we have time for a two-minute share, please. Jody E.?
All right. Yes, thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, this is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So visual proof. Do I need visual proof of this higher power? I don't believe I do need visual proof, but I do need some kind of indication that there's a higher power. And once I get abstinent, my brain clears, and I start to work the steps one at a time, one after another. Things do start to happen that seem like proof. Little coincidences, serendipity. Things will happen. The most recent example I have of something like that happening is that on Saturday, I was at an Al-Anon event that included Alateen. And there were two young girls who came for an Alateen meeting. And after the Alateen meeting, they sat down with their father and one Alateen sponsor to eat lunch. And the most recently certified Alateen sponsor wandered into the room and was drawn to their table and sat down, not knowing that they were our newest Alateens. And to me, that was all the proof I need that there is a higher power. She was somehow attracted to that table where the Alateens were sitting. And no, it's not proof of a higher power. It isn't. But once we start to work these steps, we start to see things. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so very much, Jody E., and everybody that has shared. Absolutely fabulous. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Elaine. It's a pleasure to do so. My name is Dana P. I am in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.